God's word. 1 Samuel 28, starting at verse 1. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, or by Urim, or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, "Divine for me by a spirit and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you." The woman said to him, "Surely you should know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death?" But Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" He said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a God coming up out of the earth." He said to her, "What is his appearance?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and prayed homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Saul answered, "I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do." And Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines." Then Saul fell at once full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, "Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to what you have said to me. Now therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread of it. And she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. so far, God's word. Keep his word open before you, brothers and sisters, but let's come before him now in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God, almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words that you've chosen for us to hear this morning. Bless these words this morning to our lives. May your words soak deep into us this morning. Lord, you know our hearts. You know the words we need this morning. You know your word that needs to be in our hearts this morning. Work in our hearts. May your spirit have free rein to change us, mold us, convict us, lift us up, encourage us. This morning we pray. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Sometimes life can seem hopeless. Sometimes it seems that nothing is going right. Sometimes you feel down. Sometimes you feel flat. Sometimes in life we face futures that are uncertain. What do you do in those situations? Where do you turn? Or maybe life is going great. Maybe life is going well. But what happened if suddenly things started to go bad? What happened if suddenly you faced a crisis that you hadn't been expecting to come? Where would you turn in that instance? Sometimes it feels like God isn't there, like God isn't listening. Sometimes it even feels like God has rejected you. In 1 Samuel 28, we read horrible words, as Saul says, I am in great distress, 1 Samuel 28, verse 15. I am in great distress, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more. What horrible words for Saul to say. Maybe you felt this way yourself. Or maybe you haven't felt this way, but someone you know has. If you were to meet someone and they were in despair, what would you say? What could you say to them? Where would you point them? This morning we're going to see that we are to turn to God rather than magic. We are to turn to God rather than magic. And I know that sounds kind of cryptic, but I'll explain it as we go along. Just 2 points this morning. And the first point this morning is that we turn to magic. We turn to magic. In the beginning of chapter 8, and we touched on this a couple of weeks ago, David was facing a dilemma. Due to the actions that he had taken, leaving Philistine becoming buddies with King Achish, he found himself in a problem. He found himself caught between a rock and a hard place. He was called by Achish to go and fight his fellow countrymen. How was David going to get out of the situation? But chapter 28 doesn't tell us. We're left hanging. The story goes, and all of a sudden then we switch to something else. It's like you're watching a movie on TV, and the movie's really good. You're getting into the movie, and then all of a sudden there are breaking news. The movie disappears and you see the newsreader, breaking news. Maybe the newsreader is going to tell you that we're moving into level 2. That would be good, wouldn't it? But for that movie to be interrupted, for the regular program to be interrupted, the message, the news that was coming had to be important. And it is important here as well. You see, the story that we read about Saul and the medium of Endor really is kind of out of place in time order as well. It should really be after chapters 29 and 30. So the person who wrote, compiled it together under the influence of the Holy Spirit, thought that was important enough to interrupt the story of David. So what was the lesson for Israel? What is the lesson for us this morning? What's the message that God wants us to hear as we look at this chapter this morning? Let's cast our eyes over chapter 28. Verse 3 gives us a sum up, reminds us of something that had happened previously. Samuel had died and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. Samuel was dead. We learn some other new information of Saul in years gone by had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. Necromancers and mediums are two words for essentially the same thing. People who would talk to the dead and use the dead to try and predict or say they were predicting the future. But either way, this information taken on board, Saul is in trouble. He's in serious trouble. The Philistines are assembled and they gather together into camp. Now, I'm not going to show you a map, but Saul and Israel were really in trouble. By what the Philistines were doing, they were aiming to split Israel into two and cut Saul off from the people of Israel in the north. This was a serious problem that Saul faced. And he was right in verse 5 to be afraid. So where did Saul turn? Where did he go? Well, verse 6 tells us, and to be fair to Saul and fairness to him, he did turn to God. When Saul inquired of the Lord, we read, the right move for Saul. But there was a problem. When Saul inquired of the Lord, verse 6, the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, or by Urim, or by prophets. God was silent. So what did Saul do? Did he go and did he spend some time thinking about it? Why was this so? Why isn't God answering me? Did he do some soul searching? Did he come before God and ask him, God, why aren't you answering me? What am I doing wrong? No, Saul goes to plan B. He gives his servants a job. He asks them to go and find a medium. He's going to try and find out what is going to happen another way. Now we know the story. We read the story. Saul gets his servants to find a medium. His servants somehow know that there's still one in the land of Israel. Saul disguises himself. He goes by night. He calms the woman down. He swears, interestingly, he swears an oath in verse 10, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. And as the woman brings up Samuel, she cries out, verse 12, with a loud voice. Why does she cry out? Well, most likely, what happened was something that didn't usually happen. This was something significant. And through this, she recognized that it was Saul as well for some reason. Saul calms her down. Now, there are all sorts of questions that are raised here. And people have done all sorts of attempts to try and explain what is going on here. Was it really Samuel? Did this woman actually have this power? Was she surprised because maybe she didn't have the power but yet someone was raised from the grave? The best way to approach this passage, and we don't have time to go into all the questions this morning, is to take the passage at face value. In his providence, God allowed Samuel to go back, to come back from the grave, to speak to Saul. Initially, Saul can't see Samuel, but he's able to talk with him. Again, we don't know exactly how this worked, but it didn't solve Saul's problem. Even when Samuel comes back from the grave, the message is the same, verses 16 and 17. Samuel said, Saul's confession in verse 15 that we heard before, God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what I should do. And Samuel says, well, why are you talking to me? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom, verse 17, out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. And the message gets worse. The Lord's going to give Israel and you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be dead. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. With this message, Saul despairs. And rightly so. God has rejected him. Believe me when I say this. Excuse me. Believe me when I say this is the worst possible thing that can ever happen to someone. To be rejected by God. To be left alone. To be cut off from God's blessing. Who would want to be in that position? No one, you'd say. But sadly, many people are in that position today. You are in that position if you reject God. If you reject the offer of Jesus Christ, you have no hope. Because in terms of paying for your sins, in terms of standing before God, there is no magic solution. No magic solution apart from Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can offer you hope in a hopeless situation. Only Jesus Christ can offer you eternal hope. Now we get that. We get that. We understand that, most of us, and praise God for that. But what is this passage saying to those of us who do believe? Is this text simply reminding us of the hopeless situation that a non-Christian is and finds himself in? I mean, we wouldn't resort to magic, would we? We wouldn't go and consult a medium to try and tell the future. But you see, the thing is, we can treat God like magic. We can treat God like a genie in a bottle. Boys and girls, you've seen or read some of the stories, I'm sure. You have a genie in the bottle, and when you want the genie to do something for you, you rub the bottle or rub the lamp, and out he comes, and you expect him to give you what you want. When you're in need, you talk to the genie. When you're not in need, you have the genie back in the bottle, and you can go out and do whatever you want. We can treat God like that. We can call upon him when we want, when we need him, when we're in trouble, and we expect him to do what we want. But the rest of the time, we just go on and get on with our lives. Do you see God as some sort of insurance policy? Someone who is there when you need him? A way of keeping all your options open and hoping that it'll work out okay in the end? Or maybe a little closer to home for most of us. And the things that we do, we also can turn to magic. we can place obligations on God. We pray. We read the Bible. We attend church. We speak about the gospel to non-Christians. And we think that means that God owes us something. Have you ever said to God, "Come on, God, give me a break. I've served you all these years. I've done all these things. Why are you doing this to me now? Why are you allowing this in my life?" Or another way that we can turn to magic is doing the same things that I've mentioned. Reading your Bible, ticking off your Bible reading plan, watching both services on YouTube, praying to God, going and doing all of the above, yet doing so with an empty heart. Reading the Bible is not going to save you. Going to church is not going to save you. Praying to God is not going to save you. If you rely on your own performance in life, how you live your life to keep yourself saved or to make yourself right with God, then you are relying on magic. If you think God has to do what you say because you've served him, because he owes you something, you are relying on magic. No different to that than Saul consulting mediums in the Old Testament. We can fall into that trap, brothers and sisters, thinking that what we do can make us right with God or keep us right with God. And if we do certain things, then God has to do certain things for us. We can fall into that trap when we simply go through the motions. But what's the answer? What's the right way as we face trials and struggles in life? As life sometimes can seem humanly hopeless, if we realize perhaps that we have been just going through the motions, what's the right thing to do? What's the right way? Well, we look at that in our second and final point this morning. Our final point is that we should be turning to God. We should be turning to God. Things were helpless for Saul. And our text is clear that for Saul it was too late. He goes to the medium in darkness. But darkness continues to fall on Saul, and it goes even deeper and darker for him. As Saul hears this news from Samuel, we see Saul's response in verse 20. Saul fell at once full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. Saul was at his lowest point. Saul, who had stood, as one person said, head and shoulders above everyone else, was now lying full length on the floor. He receives a meal after encouragement from his servants and the woman, but the meal wasn't going to help. The reality was that this meal was the final meal, if we can put it that way, for a man who was on death row. And there's a warning here in our passage. There's a warning here for you. Don't let it be too late to make peace with God. Because it's never too late. I can say that because I know a man who faced darkness on the cross. A man who was forsaken by God, rejected by God. who cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But also cried out on that very same cross, it is finished. Done is the work that saved. And because of Christ's rejection by his Father, he has won salvation for us. And so, because of that, it's never too late. Until your last dying breath, you can become right with God. But, you don't know when that is. He calls you today to turn to him. He calls you to examine your heart, to realize that you are a sinner. That without Jesus Christ, there is no hope for you. Turn to him today. But there's also hope and instruction here for us who are believers this morning. For those of us who find ourselves in times and seasons in life in despair. Times when God seems distant, or if we're really honest, when it seems like God is not there at all. Turn with me in your Bibles to read about someone who was in this very position. Psalm 13. Turn with me to Psalm 13. In Psalm 13, verse 1, we read this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Those are the words of a man who doesn't feel God's presence, who is struggling with the situation that he is in, who is struggling to find hope. Good questions. Honest questions. But note in the psalm who the psalmist turns to. Even when things seem hopeless, who does he turn to? Who is he addressing? Boys and girls, who is the psalmist talking to? Tell your parents now, who's the psalmist talking to? That's right, he's talking to the Lord. He's talking to God. And even that reassures the psalmist as we read this through other passages, other chapters in the Psalms as well. In his despair, in his struggle, he still turns to the Lord. That in itself is reassurance for the psalmist. He knows where he needs to go, even when God seems far away. And God doesn't reject the psalmist. And the psalmist prays this prayer, also praying that God will, that he will feel God's love and hope. What does the psalmist say in verse 5 of Psalm 13? But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice. It's not rejoicing yet, but it will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. The Lord does bring his people sometimes through times of toughness and despair and sometimes, yes, deep darkness. But that doesn't mean you're any less of a Christian. You're here in good company with the psalmist and many, many saints through history. You see, your relationship, your standing with God isn't based on your performance, how well you serve God, how much you trust in him. Your relationship with God, your standing, I should say, your standing with God is not based on your feelings, Did you hear me there? Your relationship with God is not based on your feelings. Now, your standing with God, and I know I'm using those words relationship and standing interchangeably, but your standing with God is solely based on the price that Jesus Christ paid for you. And nothing can change that. Maybe you aren't in despair. And you know that Jesus Christ is your hope. You've experienced him walking with you through trials, even as you go through a trial at the moment. I encourage you this morning, hang in there. Keep clinging to the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Keep looking up to him. He knows what you're going through. He knows, and you can know, that it will work out. Not necessarily in the way you want. Not necessarily in the way that you planned it, but it will work out. And maybe that's not you this morning. Maybe things, as I've said before, are going well. Well, this morning, give thanks. Thank him. Have you done that recently? Thank him for how he's blessing you at the moment. But you need to be reminded this morning too that it's got nothing to do with your performance either. You can give thanks that God hasn't chosen to bring you through a time of struggle and challenge at the moment. But know, brother and sister, know, friend, that there are others who are being challenged, who are struggling right now. Are you praying for them? Are you reaching out to your brothers and sisters who are struggling at the moment? And maybe one day you will find yourself in that struggle and in that despair. What are you doing to prepare for that time? When you face a crisis, when you face that struggle, who will you turn to? When you lose your job, when you lose your health, when you lose a loved one, are you using this time of relative blessing to grow? Are you praying? Are you reading, studying God's word? Are you attending to the means of grace, the preaching of his word, the blessing of fellowship with brothers and sisters in Bible study? No, these things won't save you. But they will help you to grow. They will help you and strengthen you in your relationship with your Savior and help put down deep roots so that when times of trouble come, you will be better equipped to deal with it. Are you using this time of blessing to grow, or are you simply frittering the time away, wasting the time that God has given you, focusing on things that eternally just don't matter? Who are you turning to? Are you growing deeper in your Savior, or are you simply drifting? That's an important question for all of us to ask ourselves this morning. For Saul, there was nothing but darkness. Nothing but despair for him. I pray, I hope that will not be you this morning. If you haven't turned to God, it's not too late, but turn to him now. Turn to him today. Take his call to you this morning to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ seriously. It's not a joke. And God will ultimately not be mocked. There is a time where you'll be called to stand before him and give an account. If he called you home today, right now, where would you stand with him? Where would you stand with Jesus Christ today? If you are going through a time of darkness at the moment, know that you have the prayers and the love of your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's okay to be honest with God. It's good to be honest with God. Tell him what you are feeling. It's okay to be honest with others. A challenge to us two brothers and sisters that we are open to listening, open to hearing, open to sit down with and walk alongside our brothers and sisters who are struggling. And if you are struggling, help us. Help us to help you. Hang on to that hope. Hang on to the hope of your Lord. Keep talking to him. Lean on him as you walk with him. And he promises to walk with you and carry you through the valley of the shadow of death. And if you're doing fine, then give thanks. Give thanks. Don't rest on outward obedience, on going through the motions, on ticking the boxes, on doing the minimum that you can get away with in the Christian life. Pray today that you won't rely on those things that are simply empty magic if you do them just for the sake of doing them. The magic, if I can put it that way, of outward empty Christianity. Maybe you need to repent this morning for taking God for granted, for paying lip service to him, not heart service. Then do that this morning. Maybe you need to ask him, need to pray to him, to draw you to him closer and deeper. As the hymnist says, oh, for a closer walk with thee. Then do that this morning. Or maybe you simply need to say thanks this morning for the relationship that you do have with your Maker, that he has saved you, that he has rescued you. Let's do that together now. Amen. Let's pray together. Please pray with me. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, Lord, in many ways, this is a dark story that we read here in 28, a story of darkness and despair of a man who has rejected you and you have rejected him. Lord, Heavenly Father, if there is anyone listening, watching this morning, or even in the future, that is in that position, work in their hearts, challenge them this morning, we pray. Lord, as we're praying here together, we can think in our own minds the names of those, Lord, who seem to be in this position at the moment. And some of those are our very sons and daughters, our grandchildren, our friends, our co-workers. Lord, work in their hearts this morning, we pray, that they may see the true despair, the true hopelessness that they are in. Lord, we pray this morning for those of us who are going or have gone through a time of darkness, deep darkness, or simply, Lord, if I can put it that way, or simply are just struggling. Either way, no matter how deep, no matter how dark, we pray, Lord, that we may cling to you, and that in that darkness we may feel your love, that you may reach down and pull us up, and that you would use the love and care and prayers of our brothers and sisters to help us as well. Lord, we want to repent this morning if we are simply relying on our performance, on our doing things to be right with you. Lord, we are simply relying on empty magic. Convict our hearts this morning of that. Lord, we pray for each and every single one of us that we would grow deeper, we would go stronger, we would grow closer to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to seek and turn to you. We pray this and the only name that saves us, and the only way that we can be saved, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, Amen. Well, thank you, brothers and sisters. We gather together this afternoon at 4:30. So please join us again. And boys and girls, this message is going to be about boys and girls. So bug your parents. Say, we need to watch this afternoon's service. And we'll learn about how important children are in God's church. So come and join us again at 4:30. We meet as a session this Thursday night. We'd appreciate your prayers as we consider, and continued prayers, as we consider what worship is going to look like in the future. We are hoping and praying, and we'd be praying again for this afternoon for a relaxing and things so that we are able to gather again. But we'll see how all of that goes. And a final reminder too, if you have items for prayer for our church family prayer this afternoon, please email those through to me. But now, as you prepare to enjoy this day of rest, to go out and perhaps even call your mums, hear God's blessing to you, his people. Hebrews chapter 13 gives us God's blessing. In Hebrews 13, we read these words. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, and we hope to see you later on this afternoon.